Don't forget about the RSD workshop. I think by the time this episode goes out, it's going to be just a few days away. Yes, like Friday the 6th, this will be out. And the RSD workshop is on the 9th. So you might just sneak in there last minute. It's going to be great. It's all about rejection, sensitivity, dysphoria. I've got a lot to say on the subject because I suffer with it badly. But I have found techniques to manage it. And again, there's not a lot of research in this subject area to create things like a workshop and put myself out there. I've used some very specific ideas and techniques. I am just that girl who got diagnosed 3 years ago that might be a couple of steps ahead. And if I can help anyone with something they haven't thought of before and they can improve their life, then I'm a happy woman. Anyway, have I got an episode for you today? Welcome to ADHD Fest, the podcast all about adult ADHD with just a little bit of self-development and law of attraction thrown in the mix there to suit us ADHDers. I am your host, Tara Pratt, and today I am so passionate about the topic I'm going to talk about. I have mentioned it here and there in past episodes, but today we're doing a deep dive. Because it is something that I am so passionate about, I always assume that everyone knows about it, and I forget that actually like 2-3 years ago, I didn't even know what ADHD was, so why would I know about these techniques and topics? I would go so far as to say that this strategy that I'm sharing with you today and we're going to deep dive on is the number one tool that has made the most difference in my life. The number one natural tool, I should say. Obviously, medication is one of the main treatments for ADHD and I do use that. But a lot of the time it doesn't work, particularly when you're a woman in your cycle, and in my personal experience, my medication does not work for that 1 to 2 weeks of the month, which is a large part of my life, and I have to rely on other techniques. And I would say this is my number one. I can rely on it every single time, and I can't wait to deep dive and share it with you. What am I talking about? You've heard me say the word before, it is body doubling. And if you think you know everything there is to know about body doubling, I can tell you that you do not. I harp on about it all the time. I've got a membership that is all about body doubling. And yet the research that I did today, I found some new evidence that I can share with you. And it's really interesting. So the research on body doubling for ADHD is not that extensive, really. There's not that much formal research on it specifically for ADHD. It's mostly anecdotal at the moment because it is a relatively new concept. It's all anecdotal evidence, but that anecdotal evidence does suggest strong benefits. It's an emerging strategy, if you like, which I feel like nearly all the strategies for ADHD are. There's so little help and research around the topic that we kind of have to do the legwork ourselves. But I did find research, scientific research, to back up some of the benefits that you get from body doubling that are specific to ADHD. So before I get into that, I want to talk about the anecdotal benefits. Number one is improved focus and concentration. Number two is increased task completion. That for sure is true for me. Number three is reduced frustration and procrastination. Yep, absolutely true for me. And number four is enhanced self-esteem and self-control. That's kind of just a natural consequence, a natural positive result of body doubling, because you're completing the tasks. Of course, it's going to enhance your self-esteem and your sense of control. What is it? Body doubling is a self-help strategy where someone with ADHD, myself, you, works on a task with another person present, and that person would be the body double. And that person doesn't necessarily need to help you with the task itself. They don't even need to be doing the same thing alongside of you. Just having them there works. And don't switch off from this if you don't like the feeling of being perceived. Because I struggle with that too, and I'm going to share with you later on in the episode how you can still use this body doubling technique without anyone physically having to be there or seeing you, or even on the phone. there are techniques to do that as well, and you can still use this strategy. But generally, the general idea is that someone's there and they're literally, their body is right there, and that's how you body double. So then we get to the theories around why it works. It reduces distraction. The presence of another person can act like an anchor when you're working on something. It keeps your focus on the task at hand. It also gives you accountability, which means you feel responsible to that body double. It increases your motivation to stay on track when you know someone knows you're doing something and they know whether you're going to finish or not. We can let ourselves down much more easily than we can let someone else down. There's also the theory that we get the social reward from working alongside someone. It makes mundane tasks much more enjoyable. It gives us that dopamine hit, which we know we are chasing as ADHDers. Just having someone there, it's just more fun, isn't it? Especially if it's someone you like. And lastly, it's a form of mirroring. So the body double's calmness can provide a model for you to regulate your focus, to regulate your emotions. It helps to calm us down. And they're the four main theories around why body doubling works. As I said before, there's no formal research on this, on why it works, how it works. But I do think the research that I've found backs up the theory of body doubling. The first study that I found is a 2019 study that explored the impact of social encounters on the dopamine pathway in the brain. This pathway is crucial for motivation and reward, which obviously are usually a challenge in ADHD. And the study was called Evaluating the Dopamine Reward Pathway in ADHD. So it was specific to ADHD, but it was looking at the impact of social encounters. And obviously, interacting with a body double, whether that be present in real life or in one of the other strategies I'm going to share with you at the end, is going to stimulate that dopamine. Of course it is. The impact of social encounters on a neurotypical would stimulate dopamine, but this study shows categorically that it impacts you if you have ADHD. The other piece of research I looked at was hyperscanning research, which tracks brain activity during social interactions, and it really holds promise for future studies on interventions like body doubling. They've used hyperscanning to track brain activity while ADHDers are being social, and it's showing a lot of promise, a lot of positive effects. And of course, that all ties in to body doubling. But moving on from the science, there is a positive trend in the growing body of anecdotal evidence from the ADHD community. I'm sure if you're on any social forum, you will see a lot of people shouting from the rooftops how it's worked for them. I'm not going to say it works for absolutely everybody, because of course there are no studies for that, and we are all individual. There are several different ways to use it, and I do believe you could probably find one of them that would work for you. I don't like to be perceived, so I don't really like someone sitting with me while I'm cleaning, while I'm cooking, while I'm working. I feel like they're looking at me, I can't concentrate, I'm distracted, thinking, what are they thinking? But that doesn't mean I can't body double. If I just tried the traditional way of body doubling, having someone there, I would say, well, it doesn't work for me. You adapt it to yourself, I'm pretty sure it's going to work for you. And let's not forget why there probably is a lack of research in this area. Research on ADHD interventions usually would prioritize quantifiable outcomes. They want to be able to measure their results. Body doubling, with its reliance on a social aspect, is really challenging to design a controlled study for. How do you measure that? Do you measure it by, obviously, I feel like you'd have to do a standardized test where you let someone try and complete tasks without a body double there, and then you have a body double present and see if they can complete more tasks in a faster time. But I feel like there's just no way to make that a sound test, because obviously you know you're being tested. So that would be a form of body doubling. Like if someone was like, try and do these tasks for this experiment, I feel like that would stimulate the dopamine because it would give you urgency and a deadline. So I don't really know how they could back this up with research. I really believe it's a strategy worth trying. maybe it wouldn't work for everyone, but I haven't met anyone yet who it hasn't worked for in some way. So I just encourage you to try and experiment and see if it improves your focus and task completion, because I have found it massively useful in both personal and work tasks. So let's discuss the three main ways you could use this body doubling technique and look deeper into those to find examples of how you can do that. So first and foremost is the obvious one, the classic in-person body double. You could either find a friend, a family member, or a study buddy who understands the concept of body doubling and is willing to be present with you while you work on a task. It's also possible to ask for this type of accommodation from your boss at work if you're in a job. Maybe buddy up on projects, have a partner on a project that you're working on so that it's a natural body double for you. You can discuss expectations with your friend, family member, colleague, whatever, beforehand, as in, do you want it to be silent? Do you want occasional conversation? Or do you want to work on separate tasks in the same space? Make sure that that's agreed beforehand, because you don't want to get with a friend or family member who's just chatting to you the whole time and you can't get anything done if that doesn't work for you. And if you feel uncomfortable in silence, then, you know, you might want to play music, but they can't work during that. So just set those expectations beforehand. And it can be particularly helpful for things like studying, completing chores, or tackling paperwork. The boring things, it's just stimulating another part of your brain to have that person there and be accountable to them. The second technique is the unexpected body double. This is where you would go and work in a public space, and that can sometimes offer surprising body doubling benefits. So the people there won't know that they're your body double, but you know. This is great if you don't like being perceived, because they won't know that you're actually what you're working on. They have no expectations. They're not thinking of anything about you. And this could be working in a quiet coffee shop or library. It provides the social presence that you need to stay on track, even if you're not directly interacting with those people around you. For things like exercise, you can join a group fitness class or online yoga, and it just offers that structured environment with the added bonus of physical activity. That works really well for me. Group fitness is the only way I can exercise. I find it very hard to get on a gym floor or get on a treadmill and just do it by myself. I need the guidance, I need the structure. I really don't like this unexpected body doubling either. Try it, definitely you try it, because I've known people that absolutely love this technique. Particularly, I'm a member down at David Lloyd Gym, and so many people work there. They've got like designated workspaces now, which I get. We're all working from home now and it can get lonely. And probably a lot of those people do find it better to focus when they're in a room with a lot of people who are working as well. I find it very distracting personally. I cannot get any work done in those workspaces because I just feel self-conscious. I feel like I can't ring anyone. I feel like someone might be looking at over my shoulder at what I'm doing. Maybe that's the RSD within me, maybe, but I just don't find it a good place to work. But the group classes, where there's a teacher at the front, we're all working out together. I absolutely love this technique, and I work out like 4 days a week using this. Actually, it's usually three classes, and then the fourth workout day would be like a long walk with friends or Peter. I cannot do it alone. I would love to be able to go for walks alone, but I get so bored. And the last technique, which is my favorite and I use the most, and is perfect if you don't like being perceived, is the digital body double. This is where you're going to utilize technology to your advantage. There's several ways to do this. You can look into online co-working platforms where you can virtually work alongside others in a focused environment. There are quite a few of these popping up specific to ADHD. They're like body doubling or accountability groups where they just have like an hour of co-working online. But there's also co-working platforms that aren't for ADHDers. They're just literally working side by side, some body doubling accountability. You can find them online. You can consider video calls with friends or family who can act as your body double remotely. Another way to do this doesn't have to be a video call if you don't like getting on those. It could be a phone call. You could have your phone on speaker and you could be having a catch up, you know, a bit like when you're on a long drive and you think, oh, I'll call that person. I haven't spoken to them for ages. You can do the same, have it on loudspeaker or have your headphones in, whatever, and just be like mopping the floor, putting the dishes away while you're having a chat. Just set a timer for however long to have a chat with your friend and get through some stuff. That is a version of digital body doubling. You can even watch Study With Me videos on YouTube that can provide a sense of virtual companionship and accountability. There's Study With Me, there's Clean With Me, and you can. It's good to see that visual representation of someone doing what you want to do, and it inspires you. It also helps with the executive dysfunction, because a lot of times when you are cleaning, it's hard to work out what to do first, like what area do I want to start with. And if someone is already doing that on a YouTube video, then it gives you inspiration. You can just follow along. The only downside with this is when I'm cleaning in particular, I move around a lot, so I can't always see the screen. I like to put also, like, you're not going to put that on your phone, really, because you can't close the screen and still listen. You'd have to, like, put it on your smart TV or something, and I can't always see the TV, so I'm not sure that 100% works for me in that scenario. Study With Me, I can see how you'd be sat next to the screen while you were doing it, so that would work really well. But lastly, my favourite one, of course, because I'm biased, but I started this long before I opened my membership. I used to do this without knowing what I was doing, is I would listen to a podcast on the task that I wanted to do. There is like an American podcast called Clean With Me. It's just two ladies who do cleaning, and their episodes are great, but I found that they weren't specific enough for me and I got a bit bored. So that's when I created the Body Doubling membership. The link is down below. I've also got a free episode on this platform, this podcast. If you want to scroll back a few, you can see it's like free body doubling, whole house clean. Having the podcast in my ears, having that friendly voice of the person that I listen to all the time anyway, and hearing their stories about the week, and they're cleaning in real time next to me, or doing whatever, like studying. I think on the Body Doubling Club, I've got like meal prep, I've got creating a vision board, I've got clean. It's mostly cleaning, I would say, because obviously that's what we need to do on a regular basis. It's cleaning and organizing, but I do throw in other tasks there as well, because I'm selfish and that's what I like to listen to. I like to have my phone on speaker or my AirPods in and be doing the task while I'm listening to someone else doing the same task. And although it's not live, I do feel a sense of accountability. I don't know what it is, but I think because I can see the time before I start the episode, I can see, okay, this is 25 minutes. So I am dedicating myself to listen to this for 25 minutes, and it goes by in a flash. And I feel proud of myself at the end, and I can say, oh, wow, I got all this done. And so did the other person that is leading this podcast. And we did it together. They're usually not specific to body doubling. Of course, my body doubling membership one is specific to body doubling. Like, that is what it's aimed at. So those are the three main strategies for body doubling. Experiment with them. Try them out. I'm just so convinced that this works for nearly every single ADHDer. If there's something you need to get done that is so boring, you don't want to do, it takes forever, try one of these strategies. Get an in-person body double, a friend or family member. Go to a public space like the gym, or like a gym class or a cafe or something if you need to get work done. Or utilize those digital body doubles, either people you know on the end of the phone live, an online platform that does a live virtual work alongside each other, or get yourself in the Body Doubling Club and listen to those podcasts in real time while you get things done. And lastly, I'm just going to give you a few tips to create that productive body doubling experience. Number one, set clear goals. Before you start that body doubling session, clearly define the task you want to accomplish. It's going to help you maintain focus and it provides a sense of accomplishment when completed. One caveat to that is don't set your sights too high. My motto is usually progress over perfection. A lot of these things on our to-do list are never ending. They're a cycle, like laundry. It's a cycle that you're never going to be done with laundry. We wear clothes every single day. If you've got kids, your laundry basket will always be full. It's never going to be complete. So don't set your sights so high, like all my laundry baskets are going to be empty and all my clothes are going to be away in the wardrobe, because that is setting yourself an impossible task. Just set yourself progress over perfection. It would be great if I could get the laundry that's in the dryer put away and put on a new load of laundry and then transfer it to the dryer. If that's the aim for the hour, whatever, then that is the aim. Just set it realistically. Number two, schedule your body doubling sessions. So treat your body doubling sessions like important appointments. This is going to be a lot easier if it's something that is already scheduled for you, like a gym class. It's perfect for me to get my exercises at the gym class because it's already done for me. It's already a set time. But if it's not a set time, you set the time. And obviously, if you're doing it in person with someone, then you have to schedule it anyway because you've got to arrange for them to be free at the same time. Number three, optimize your environment. So choose a work area with minimal distractions for you, at least distractions that aren't helpful. Some people like music playing, for others it's a distraction. So make sure it is perfect for the way you work and the best environment for you to focus. Ensure you've got all your necessary materials at hand before you start to avoid interruptions. Four, communication is key. Discuss your needs with your body double if it's someone in person. Do you prefer silence? This is what we were talking about before. Know what works best for both of you, not just you, and it'll really enhance the experience. And if you're in the body doubling club and you are obviously not talking to me live, it doesn't mean that you can't set your expectations. It doesn't mean that you can't communicate with me. I am very open to messages. If you're a member on Apple Podcasts, you can't send me messages through that platform. So you'd have to find me on Instagram, which is at ADHD Fest. But I'm very open to you saying, I'm going to start this episode now, the whole house speed clean, and this is what I intend to do in that time. And I'll be your accountability partner for sure. Just send it to me so that I know that's what you're doing. If I can, I'll try and cheer you on, but you've just put it somewhere. If you're on the Patreon version of the membership, then you can actually comment on the Patreon page what you are setting out to do. You can even put before and after pictures if you want. Whatever way you want to use that, use it. It's there to help you. And then fifth is celebrate your success. Acknowledge your achievements when you complete a task with the help of body doubling. Positive reinforcement is what's going to keep you motivated going forward and help you to continue using this strategy, because we all have done it right, where we find a strategy that is amazing, it really works, and we use it a couple of times and then we forget, because that is the nature of our ADHD. The more you can celebrate when you do achieve something with this body doubling technique, it doesn't mean you're going to remember to use it because you still have ADHD, but when you do forget and then you think, oh, what did I do before? And then you remember, oh, body doubling, you're going to remember that feeling of celebration, that feeling of achievement, and it's going to motivate you to try it again more. If you haven't celebrated it, it's not going to burn itself into your brain. You're not going to remember. You're going to be like, yeah, it worked. It was all right. You're not going to feel that sense of excitement about using it again. So always celebrate your successes, whether you're ADHD or not. Celebrating your success is so important. Our little monkey minds are so skewed towards the negative. It's a survival technique. It just is what it is. It's part of being a human being. But we tend to pick out the negative. We tend to focus on what's wrong, what we're doing wrong, and improving ourselves, which isn't always a bad thing. We always want to strive for improvement. But when you ignore the positives, when you ignore the achievements and the success, it's really easy to get down on yourself and get into a place of shame, embarrassment, not feeling good enough. And no one can achieve anything productive from that space. It's nearly impossible to thrive and do your best, whatever that might look like, when you feel terrible about yourself and you think it's pointless because you never achieve anything anyway. Really cement those thoughts in your mind. Really celebrate them. Really reflect and think about, what did I do well today? What am I good at? And make sure that they stay as a memory. do let me know any feedback. If you've got any questions about the Body Doubling Club, let me know, or body doubling in general. I'm over on Instagram at ADHDFest, TikTok ADHD_Fest. All the links are down below. Don't forget about the RSD workshop. I think by the time this episode goes out, it's going to be just a few days away. I think this goes out on like the 6th. Yes, like Friday the 6th, this will be out. And the RSD workshop is on the 9th. So you might just sneak in there last minute. It's going to be great. It's all about rejection, sensitivity, dysphoria. I've got a lot to say on the subject because I suffer with it badly. I don't like to say I used to suffer with it because it is what it is. It can't be cured, but I have found techniques to manage it. And again, there's not a lot of research in this subject area. It's kind of like mindset work. Some stimulants might be able to help it. It's really trial and error again. And I feel like as an ADHDer with quite bad rejection sensitive dysphoria, I have done well to create this platform, to be able to speak on this podcast to you, to create things like a workshop and put myself out there. I've used some very specific ideas and techniques, and it is mindset work, but I haven't heard anyone speaking about the way I tackle it. So I just thought it'd be useful. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert. I say that every week in my disclaimer down below. I am just that girl who got diagnosed 3 years ago that might be a couple of steps ahead if you are only just realised ADHD or you haven't looked into it much. I have hyper-focused on this, and if I can help anyone with something they haven't thought of before and they can improve their life and manage their symptoms better, then I'm a happy woman. Anyway, I've rambled on enough, and I hope you all have a beautiful week. Goodbye.